to the Rocky Balboa set. So he pulls it to the side. He's talking to it for a minute. And then he invites me to go over there and say hello.
Yeah, Rocky, so he hooking you up. Huh?
Personally introduced us.
Stop. Let's go somewhere else, please. Hello, another episode of Hot Boxing. I'm Mike Tyson. And today we have legendary boxer Antonio Magic Man Tarver. Talk to it, brother.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
It's all good, baby.
Okay.
What's up, my guy? What's going on, man?
Well, what's this I heard about after the Rocky movie, you wanted to go at Mike? What's that about?
Well, it was like kind of written into the script. Yeah. Mm. And so Mike came there and, you know, Sly was really trying to push that then. But at that time, you know, Mike just wasn't in it. You know, he told me, we talked at the Four Seasons. Oh, wow. And he just wasn't, you know.
I was Mike.
Yeah.
Can't be fucking around. Oh, I love it. Listen, let's go back. Hey, Fat Mike. Fat Mike Tyson. Hey, let's go to. No, listen, back up. See that guy right there?
What is that?
That's me fighting in Cuba. I was fighting in Cuba.
Wow.
Give me, see that big bottle over there, that big glass thing?
Uh-huh.
Throwing it at police.
Wow. No way.
Oh, look, Tyson visited Cuba. Look, let's go there for a minute. Oh, look how fat I am.
You still have your pants sagging like that?
Yeah, I'm on cocaine. Yeah, I do sag.
Well, all the boxing movies, they probably annoyed you like crazy, right, Mike? Especially Sylvester Stallone.
Look at that fat right there.
Look at that fat Mike.
Where the hell was I at?
That's man.
That's life, though, when I look at it, Mike.
I'm only fat kid, though.
That's life, man.
Never met a fat kid before.
That?
Look at that. What happened that nigga, man?
I thought that was like a fake. Like,
no, that's real.
Fake pics online.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I thought that was fake.
The devil had me back then. The devil had me, but I got away!
That part.
I got away from slavery.
Was Sylvester Stallone annoying you to be in a lot of those like fighting movies back then?
No, he's always a gentleman. Always a gentleman.
Oh, so he was written in the script in the beginning?
Yeah, it was written in the script.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was kind of like edging me on to give him a shot at the title. So it's like sometimes film can like, you know, really imitate life sometimes.
Yeah, art imitates life. Listen, you were the captain of the 96 Olympic team?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir, co-captain. I think arguably could have had one of the best teams in Olympic history.
Who won gold there?
David Reed won gold.
Remember that Philadelphia guy?
Yeah, we had three members from Philly. David Reed, Zahir Rahim, and Terrence Cawthorn.
You were on your team?
On my Olympic team.
Those guys could fight.
Everybody could fight, yeah.
Meldrick Teller, I remember he was like 15. He beat everybody in the Nationals.
Mm.
So those were good times back then, man, watching those guys grow and then become the legendary fighters they became and as professionals. And just to know that we all started at that amateur level, you know what I'm saying, and represented our country, it was a good feeling. It was a great feeling. But shortly after that, things kind of bottomed out for me because even with a bronze medal around my neck, being one of the most accomplished amateurs, I broke history in 95 and I did something that's never been done before. I won the world title, mm-hmm. the Pan American Games, and the national championship all in the same year.
Yeah, that's good.
So I'm going to the Olympics, favorite to win gold. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Because I had did that just the previous year. I get to the Olympics, everything gets started, and we lose a controversial decision, to say the least. It's always controversial
where
in the Olympics.
Where it came from?
Excuse me?
What country?
It was Russia. It's Russia. But we were in America, so we didn't expect. Oh, we in Atlanta, wow. You feel me? So we didn't expect we would have to, you know, battle that too.
You're never gonna beat him in Europe, Eastern Europe. No, get to the city yet.
So Mayweather, myself, and a couple more guys got shafted. You know what I mean? But it just—they never really promoted it like they did whenever else everybody got robbed. Yeah. But the sad part and kind of my rough start was I had a bronze medal around my neck, but when I tried to turn pro champ, I couldn't find a manager or a promoter to work with me. So I'm like, you know, what 3 months ago, I'm the best fighter in the world.
What they say?
Well, they were saying something about my age. You know, they thought at that time at 27, I would be a little older.
Too old, right?
Too old to make my mark in boxing. You know, even though I've shown you guys that if you do your, if you're really looking at it, if you knew boxing, you could see from my amateur career that I had great potential. You know, I just had to just get experience. But you don't know, you know how hard it is to start boxing without nothing, without anybody really helping you and putting you in that position. So I kind of...
I know a lot of disappointments in that. A
lot of disappointment. I started with a chip on my shoulder because one, you know, months before that, I'm walking on that track with the Dream Team. Mm. And, you know, I'm wearing the stars and stripes. And when you turn pro, the politics you think supposed to, you know, give you at least a fair chance at it. I never had a fair chance at it. From the gate, you feel me? I never had a fair chance at it. And that hurt me, man, when I wore the stars and stripes. I felt like I was a part of something. But when I didn't get no support turning pro,
and you in America.
And you feel me? In America, bronze medal, broke history, everything.
We're the only country that do that. You from another European country that worship you, that give you a job and everything. America's the only one that eat that young.
Wow.
So that's what we had to go through. But thank God, you know, on that picture you all had up, there was an older gentleman on that picture, Jimmy Williams.
Come on, let's pull the picture up again. Put the picture up.
That you had of my team.
What is it?
Of my team. We were all in the corner, the ones you just had after the fight. That's the man right there that really don't get enough credit in boxing because he was from Florida. You feel me? He wasn't from Philly, New York, and all that, but he worked down here with Phil Alessi. He was the trainer of the Beast Mugabe. He got with the Beast Mugabe, and they almost upset Marvin Hagler. They lost that fight closely in Tampa, but that's him, Jimmy Williams. I lost him at 91 years old.
Oh, wow.
And that's the secret. That's the guy at 10 years old laid the foundation for me. You feel me? The mental, the technical.
What did he tell you?
Everything, bro. He taught me about the sport. You know, if you know Jimmy Williams, which a lot of people around the boxing game does, they'll know, you know, why, you know, Jimmy Williams was so important to me. And I think if boxing really looked at him and his credentials, I think he'll be more appreciated in the game. That was my great trainer. That was my Eddie Futch. You know what I'm saying? Mm. That was my Angelo Dundee. And you know what I mean? And we worked and believed in each other and we created
That's
this.
That's what it's all about, chemistry.
You feel me? He believed in me, the chemistry. Yeah. He was a proud black man too, you understand?
You talk about politics. So what was the other obstacles you were dealing with back then? Was that like racist back then or was it?
No, listen.
I wouldn't call it racist,
this
but.
This is what it is.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you know. There's clique in boxing, amateur boxing.
Oh, like crews.
And pro boxing too. If they don't like you, you have beef with one of their guys from the amateur, you got beef with them too.
What? So I've had beef my whole career, you feel
me? Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Really?
And so, but...
But those amateur guys want to be the pro guys eventually. Mm-hmm. They're going to be these guys eventually.
Yeah. My trainer had a relationship with a guy that still's worked with Bob Arum to this day. His name is Brad Jacobs. He was working with USA Tuesday Night Fights at the time. They were doing a lot of fights up in Philly. Mm-hmm. My first fight was in Philadelphia at the Blue Horizon. A legendary place, but legendary for not all the great things, but for the reason that it was in the hood. It's a great, you're going to get great fights. You're going to cram about 500 people in there, and they're going to be on top of you. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it was one of USA's Tuesday Night Fights, best locations. They brought me up, and I turned pro. My first three fights was on Russell Peltz's promotion.
From Philadelphia,
Russell Peltz's promotion. After those three fights, Russell Peltz, I signed a one-year deal with Russell. You know, and Russell tried to get me beat before the contract was up. Yeah, but if you know Russell, he's that type of promoter. He promotes the show. He don't care about the fighter. He want a good fight. And he'll put his fighters in harm's way just to get that type of fight. But I made it through that year contract. It was time to renegotiate, and Russell Peltz didn't re-up with me. And then I end up going with another small promoter, All-Star Boxing, which was Joe DeGuardia. You probably know him also. Well, Joe is a small promoter that, you know, through his relationship with me, we went big time because of the victories and everything I was able to do. But yeah, I was challenged in a lot of ways, even proving that I belong in the game, you know? And when you look at my career and knowing that I didn't have it easy, in fact, I had it harder than most coming from where I came from, and I still was able to accomplish everything I did. That's the message right there.
Most people would have quit. Got the girlfriend pregnant, made an excuse.
What was the pay back then?
Well, the pay wasn't as great as it was now.
But you got that championship, nigga. Be the greatest fighter in the world.
We got there through all those obstacles, you know. But I'll say this, I'm going to bring him up, the great legendary Roy Jones Jr. When I look back at it, when we first, for real though,
he's crazy.
Now, this me being honest. Yeah. But sometimes, you know, God is in the mix. Yeah. You feel me? But if Roy would have fought me when he first was supposed to fight me as his mandatory,
you think that?
Yeah. I don't think I was ready at that time.
Oh wow!
That's why it didn't happen.
That's why it didn't happen. I had to go through some more stuff to get ready to win. I could have been ready to fight, but I wasn't ready to win. It had to come through that process.
I didn't feel to really like be the first to knock him out. He's such a shit talker, that guy. Like, he talks a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Well, he had reason to.
It felt good, man. It felt like I accomplished everything I set out, but the journey is it.
Destination.
It's the journey. Because, man, when I look at it, it had to be God. You feel me? From what I had to overcome just to get there. See, a lot of people went through their shit, you feel me, once they made it and they fall off. Well, I fell off and then I had to try to find out how I was gonna make it, you feel me? Because you gotta understand, back in the 80s, late 80s, you know, all our neighborhoods were affected by that. And you know, with me being a young athlete, I got caught up in that shit, you feel me? And it could have been, you know, I was close to ruining it all, but through my beliefs and through that old man you just saw on that screen and then, you know, God doing what he had to do, I recognized it though, see? I realized what was going on and I accepted it, you know, and when I believed in that vision, when he gave me that vision, I didn't let that shit go for nobody. The politics, anybody that stepped in the ring with me, no, because I knew what I was after. I just had one of the greatest fighters of all time in front of me. And I couldn't be who I became without going through the great legendary Roy Jones Jr. Mm. It was just part of the story. But when you look at all the obstacles that I was faced with, bruh, it's a miracle I made it. It's a miracle I made it. And you know what I mean? Sitting on that couch, you know, I can say that I was addicted to crack cocaine. I lived that shit, bruh, in Ivy Lane, Orlando. You feel me? That's what I had to overcome. So when I kicked the devil in the ass, what the hell is somebody gonna do to me? When I already beat the devil himself. You see what I'm saying? So that was the motivation factor, bruh. I couldn't let myself down. I couldn't let my family down. This was a new start, you feel me? And I ran that shit all the way up to the Olympics at my late age. So it's never too late, and don't ever let nobody tell you what you can't become. You feel me? Because I did that shit unapologetic.
Larry Holmes started.
I had to do a lot.
Larry Holmes started at 20. He's the greatest fighter I'm living this day. Larry Holmes started.
Larry Holmes. You know?
Rocky Marciano started late. You know, know why it helps being late when they're successful? Because they're more mature.
You know how to handle it.
Yeah, they're more mature.
Foreman, he went to late.
He won the title late. He started early. He won the title late. He came back and won it.
Yeah.
When you saw that, like, what you didn't think he would like get past that? Huh? Everybody was like,
nah.
Well, it didn't look like it leading up to the couple fights that he had. You know, he won. He struggled, but sometimes all you need is that opportunity, that moment. And great fighters rise to the occasion.
That comes from not giving up.
Not giving up. Great fighters rise to the occasion. So when you see fighters out here doing what they're doing now, it's not what we're built from. You feel me? It's not. And I just believe there's not enough of us around giving these lessons to these young fighters. Because they don't know where they're going. Because they've never been champ. You see? And when you look back at boxing, the one thing that's missing.
I didn't know where I was going because I've never been.
You've never been. So, but what if somebody has been down that road before and they care enough about you to let you know?
Yeah, they gotta care. Most
of them gotta care.
Yeah.
Let you know what's down that road so you don't have to fall into that pitfall.
Or you can make a decision.
You can make a decision to go left or right. So
now you got information.
Information. That's what I'm trying to give to the next generation coming up behind me. You understand? That's where I'm here. That's why I'm here. Because that old man was the same old man that I'm trying to be to these young guys.
Oh, wow.
But we're different. We were raised to listen to our elders. We were raised to respect.
Oh, they beat your ass.
You feel me? That's the difference. Now we got to figure out a way. How can we make that impact on the next generation that's coming up?
And we can't put our hands on them like our parents put their hands on us.
Exactly. Yep, yep. But I think this also, being able to communicate with these young guys can be a blessing, but they gotta be willing to hear.
Is the hunger different now? I mean, Mike wasn't thinking about money back then. You was just fucking niggas up.
But it ain't about, it's about position and power, but the money, you need money to do everything.
Yeah.
You feel me? And that's just.
The money come.
If you the best at what you do, the money gonna be there.
Money come.
You gotta focus on your talent and your strengths. My first two losses was controversial. And I had to have rematches. I had three losses on my record when I faced Roy Jones. All three rematches was avenged by knockout. You feel me? Wow. So even though the judges got it wrong, thank God for rematches. Because I was able to get it right in the rematches. There's only one fight that I never had a rematch in. And that was the fight that took me, I think, you know, from that. Let me say. Just from that position for a champion, status. And that's the fight with Bernard Hopkins. I never had a rematch in that fight, bro. But when you look at the fact that I didn't have a rematch, you kind of understand.
How did you feel fighting him?
I felt great going in. Yeah. After the fact, I learned a lot, champ. I learned a lot about the business, that it ain't fair. The business isn't fair. And what I learned, because at the time I was undisputed champion, I had just came off of beating Roy Jones, knocking him out.
Yeah.
I shot the Rocky movie. I just beat Sylvester Stallone in the movies.
So you already got the hype.
I got all the belts. Yeah. Hopkins is coming off of two losses to Jermaine Taylor.
Yeah.
He's fighting for my championship. And you mean to tell me I couldn't contract a rematch clause and I'm giving everything? The fact that I was 3-0 in rematches kind of proves to you that.
Is that Billy White out there?
You really don't know who would have won that fight.
Yeah, man.
That's the one that got away, man.
I don't like the way Bernard Hopkins, the way he ended his shit. You saw his last fight where he got knocked out. He got knocked out the ring.
That's karma, though. That's
who
karma,
knocked him
bro.
Out?
Who was the fighter that knocked him out?
Was it Smith? Smith
was,
from
it
New
was
York.
Ugly. Did you see that fight?
I don't know.
White boy.
It
knocked
was
him out.
Ugly.
Smith from New York. I think
knocked him out the ring.
Come on, guys.
that was ugly.
Bernard Hopkins last loss. I think it was Smith. Talking. Yeah.
He's talking crazy. I thought he was going to win that fight, too, but I guess talking don't mean shit. Yo, yeah, there it is.
It looked like Kevin King.
He knocked him out the ring.
Man.
Like, I never saw that. Like.
Joe Smith. Wow,
I never thought I'd see him.
Who the fuck is Joe Smith?
Cruiserweight champion from New York. He was under the Joe DiGuardia banner. But this is just karma, man. Hopkins is karma, but definitely out of his prime, you know. I think he was 44 here, 45.
What's wrong with this man? I love this man. He's great.
Like, knocked him out the ring. I never saw nothing like that before.
I think Hopkins was fighting out of his weight class at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he say he slipped. Ooh. He say he slipped out the ring.
See ya, Lily, see ya.
Oh, he cracked him. He can't hurt him, but he's cracking him.
Here it comes. Good counter.
And it'll be fights like this that'll just make. See ya. Damn, look at that.
Boom.
Oh, that's a nice one.
You can't with left uppercut. Boom.
Your mic is there. You remember these shits, man?
Yeah, I do. Cause sometimes I can't, this shit looks so crazy, I can't believe I did this shit.
This is where you see your look.
Oh no.
This is what I'm talking about.
He got hurt not from the punches but the fall.
I was like, what a way to go.
Wow.
Your last fight, man. Yeah.
He's so knocked out. Wow.
Yeah, that wasn't nice. That wasn't nice at all.
Any fighters gave you issues, like, you know, that you remember? Can you give me some?
A lot of issues. The one fighter that gave me a lot of problems was Eric Harding from Philadelphia. Tough fighter, southpaw, splitting image of myself. And then, that's my first legitimate loss on my record.
Oh, wow.
And I learned a lot from that fight, too. You know, I just made weight. And I looked at film of Eric Harding, and I just never thought he can beat me from what I saw on film. And that's the last time I ever watched a film of a guy, because it really puts, you get what you call a false sense of security. And just because he's looking good or looking bad in front of that guy don't mean that he can't go back to the gym and get better. So I just would advise a fighter just to work on yourself, man, and be the best that you can be.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself, be the best that you can be, and be ready for whatever.
You know how hard it is to believe in yourself? Everybody else say you're a piece of shit. Everybody, you gotta believe in yourself.
You gotta believe in yourself. Yeah, I've had to do that. And you gotta understand, man, I really haven't had a chance to celebrate my victories, because every time, you know, it's met with the excuses. You see what I'm saying? And
so there's no big Las Vegas after party.
But no, not even that. It's just that.
Tupac and shit.
People love Roy Jones so much till they had to despise and hate me. You feel me?
Find reasons. To
but if people really knew our relationship, they wouldn't feel like that, you know?
Why do you care?
Well, in this boxing business,
I don't give a fuck.
Right, Mike. We understand that. And, you know, at one time, I didn't give a fuck. At one time, I didn't give a fuck either.
Listen, can I keep it real with you?
Yeah.
I used to be bullshitting because I know life has a bigger fuck you have than me. So I used to be talking shit. I said that before a couple of times, thinking I was hard, and then life hit me.
Life.
And then life said, fuck you.
Yeah, that's a wake-up call, huh?
Wake-up call, man.
What's the backstories of Pretty Boy Floyd? What's that about? Like,
backstories?
His name came from hanging with y'all. Like,
well, yeah, the Olympic team and everything. Yeah. We was young out there. And we was moving around the cities and shit, different cities, going to different places. I just was, I noticed Floyd and you know, he stood
anybody
out.
Anybody in your team?
He stood out.
Anybody in your team used to get arrested when y'all go out?
We've had that happen too. Floyd got in some problems. Nate Jones had some issues, and David Reed, the adventure gold medal winner.
That's just some bitches, huh?
More than likely, you know. But we kept it together. We kept it together, and we got it done, man.
Shit don't matter. Different character, same show, same movie.
How do you balance our relationships with all this craziness going on?
Relationships, you just gotta have somebody that's down for you, man. You know, like,
did they kneel along? That's crazy.
I mean, for a little while, it wasn't like we were together, but we just, you know.
I had a crush on her.
You know what happened, bro? I went to the 06 BET Awards. You know, yeah. I'm fresh out. I'm in LA making my moves. After the movie, working, shooting. But I see Neil Long, and of course, I'm. At that time, I could have been starstruck. I don't know.
Shit. I ain't gonna say shit.
I don't know if I was starstruck or not, but I definitely went up to her, shot my shot. You feel me?
Fire. Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, she gave me the Heisman Trophy at that time. So next day I go back on set, and I'm kind of my ego bruised a little bit. So I go talk to Sly. I say, man, what's up with these women in L.A.? They don't recognize the champ, whatnot. And he was telling me, and I told him about the situation I had the night before. Mm-hmm. Well, lo and behold, like 4 or 5 days later, we in the gym, in the ring, working, training for we practicing our, the lines and shit in the ring, the steps. And he just stopped and said, Neil, sit over there for a minute. I'll be right with you. Just let me finish up here. He had invited Neil on set, bro, to the Rocky Balboa set. So he pulls it to the side. He's talking to it for a minute. And then he invites me to go over there and say hello.
Yeah, Rocky, so he hooking you up. Huh?
Personally introduced us.
Stop. Let's go somewhere else, please.
But what business you got with K. Michelle? You got like some
kind of what the fuck?
Yeah, damn.
You got some perfect.
Damn, Mike.
Tennis for you, man. Shit.
What? That don't make no sense, bro.
God damn,
I met K.
I'm on mushrooms. I don't know what the fuck. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, we met in Memphis, man. I was down there for a Roy Jones fight. She's from Memphis. I wasn't even into music at the time. I did get her out there. I had a little label for a quick minute. My boy Slim was on it. We did some stuff. But Kay came right up to me and just said, aren't you Antonio? I said, yeah. And I can sing and
Macaroni Tony.
Let me hear you sing, whatever. And I thought she had a beautiful voice, man. I thought she was talented. So I put a little money behind and started working with her, took her up to Atlanta. In fact, I got married in the midst of all of that, Mike. So, they found out on the internet. You feel me?
Beautiful, beautiful.
So that's what happened, man. But I worked with her for a little minute, right up until I knew I couldn't take her any further. So I kind of, put her with Erica, her personal assistant, Erica. I can't think of Erica's last name. Ooh. Erica White, I believe. Erica White, if I'm not mistaken. She works in the music industry. And she was with her, helping me help her and everything. I got her some meetings with Sylvia Roan and everyone. I had started trying to get Al to help me with her, work with her. But that wasn't my lane. I got her in the right hands. And, she eventually ended up making it.
Yeah, she did
make it. She made it. So that lets me know I do have an ear for the talent.
Always listen to a Rick Ross song.
Ear for the talent.
If you know, song with Rick Ross, I always play a song when I'm working out. Rick Ross and her name, what's her name? Michelle K.
Michelle K.
Before we wrap up, you want to shout out whatever you got going on? Can you disappear?
Yeah, we got a, in Tampa, man, I'm trying to do a training center. We can get the trainers to come. And kind of learn, how we get better with helping these fighters, And got a nice gym down there. My son can fight, man. I'm just really waiting on him to click in. Once he click in, I think he'll have a real shot at doing something great. But I know my story, man. It's sort of like I've called it the greatest story never told. It's just going to have to get out, And We looking at doing docuseries and stuff like that because I just truly believe it's that powerful when you look at, the way the world is today. I think it's something for these young kids to really look into and say, no matter where my life is at today, tomorrow could be a better day. You just got to get the right people around you, people that believe in you and people that can not only see but have vision for your life.
And that's the end of another episode of Hot Boxing. I'm Mike Tyson.
I'm Hookin.
And I'm the champ, the magic man, Antonio Tall.
See ya. Take the B, ya.